Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
When you understand that your old sinful nature, that old man is gone, and you are now a brand new person, as you renew your mind to that, you will bring forth fruit unto God.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. We are now into, I think, my fifth week of teaching through the book of Romans, and I call this Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. And we've already covered a lot of material. Today we're going to start in Romans chapter 7, verse 1. I know that not every person watches this program every single day, and even if you watch it every day, you've probably slipped since last Friday. So real quickly, let me just say that in Romans 1:16, Paul began saying that he was not ashamed of the gospel. And the word gospel is specifically talking about good news, nearly too good to be true news, which was so contrary to the religious system of Paul's day and also the religious system of our day. A lot of people will stand up and say, you're going to hell, repent or else, turn or burn. And then they say, that's the gospel. Well, it's true that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, and it is true that the wages of sin is death, and if we don't repent, we're going to go to hell. All of those things are true, but that's not the gospel. It's not good news. Good news is specifically identifying that although we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that Jesus took our sins, He paid for our sins. We don't have to pay for our sins. We can be totally accepted with God through what Jesus did for us. The only thing that He asks of us is that we believe. Man, that is good news. To think that we don't have to somehow or another earn the salvation, and not only the initial born-again salvation, but anything that comes as a result of serving God. Healing, deliverance, joy, peace. None of these things are related to your goodness. It's related to what Jesus did for you. And all you have to do is believe and receive, or doubt and do without. And so that's what he began to start saying. That is basically the theme of the whole book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, he shows how that those who don't even know God have an intuitive knowledge on the inside of them. In Romans 2, he shows that the Jews are doubly guilty because they not only have this witness of their conscience, but then they also have the witness of the law. And the law begin to show us our sin and our need for a Savior. So in Romans chapter 3, he puts the two together, saying that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But then he shows that it is through faith. It is the law of faith that makes us right with God. Romans chapter 4, he uses two examples of Abraham and David, two of the greatest patriarchs in the Old Testament. And yet both of them were sinners. And he points out that it wasn't their goodness that caused them to be in right standing with God. Abraham, you know, lied about his wife twice. Abraham went into his wife's handmaid and had an Ishmael that wasn't God's will. Abraham wasn't perfect, and yet he was the father of faith to us all. And then David certainly wasn't perfect. He committed adultery and murder to cover up his adultery. And so he makes these points. In chapter 5, he begins to start saying, therefore, it's by faith that we have peace with God. That's the only way anybody can ever have a real peace in their relationship with God is through faith. If it's based on your performance, you might perform good today, you might perform good tomorrow, but you are going to blow it sometime or another. And if your faith is based on your goodness and you think God loves you because of what you've done, you're eventually going to fail. And that's what Romans chapter 5 talks about. He says he commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so anyway, at the end of Romans chapter 5, he has five different times that he makes a comparison in the same way that we became sinners, not through what we did individually, but through what Adam did. And that sin was passed on to us in the same way. You become righteous, not through what you do, but through what Jesus did for you. And that righteousness is passed on to anyone who believes. Then in Romans chapter 6, and this I am building up to Romans chapter 7, verse 1, but all of this is very important that you get it in its context. But in Romans chapter 6, he had basically made the point that it is our faith in what Jesus did for us that produces relationship with God, not our faith in what we do for him. But in Romans chapter 6, he begins to answer the question twice about, can we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, that's not what he was saying. And then this is what I was dealing with last week. One of the most important things for you to learn is that when you make Jesus your personal Lord, that it's not like you still have that old sinful nature on the inside of you, and then you get a new nature, which 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. And people acknowledge that when you get born again, God comes and lives on the inside of you. But the average Christian today believes that you still have that old sinful nature, and then you have this new nature on the inside of you, that basically you're schizophrenic and that you are just pulled in two different directions all of the time. And Romans chapter 6, and this is a major point out of the book of Romans, shows that no, that old man, that old sinful nature is dead, gone, and non-existent. And people will say, well, no, it's not, because by experience I can tell you that I still have a tendency to sin, and I still sometimes lust, and I get in the flesh and get angry and depressed and discouraged, and seems like sometimes it's easier to operate in unbelief than it is in faith. And I dealt with this all last week. But that's not because you've got a nature that is driving you to that. It's because your mind that was programmed, like a computer, it was programmed by your sinful nature, has not been renewed. You can renew your mind, and you can literally get to where you do not just have these tendencies towards things. Now, the renewing of the mind is a process, and it takes time to totally change all of this selfishness and all of the ungodly things that our sinful nature taught us. But I have literally seen people that they tell you about what their life was like before they got born again, and you look at them now and you cannot even see any traces of that. It's because that old man was gone, and to the degree that they renew their mind and get into the Word of God, you can become a brand new person, not only on the inside in your spirit, but renew your mind and begin to start acting like it. People who were once just, you know, they had no morality at all, they can get so totally changed so it is just totally opposite. I've actually talked to some people that they can't even believe the person that they were before. They were just totally changed, not only on the inside, but as they renew their mind, it comes on the outside. We still deal with sin, but it's because we haven't totally renewed our mind. There is nothing in us that compels us to do that. So all of that's the first six chapters of the book of Romans. And the reason I spent that time to go back through this is because remember that men are the one that put the chapter and verse divisions in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. It helps us to reference it. But Romans chapter 7 is not a new thought. In Romans chapter 6, he was talking about how that you have to recognize that your old man is dead and gone, that the body of sin might be destroyed. I spent a lot of time talking about that. The sinful nature is gone, but it left behind a body, an unrenewed mind, and all of these lust and things, and you have to renew it. And so that's the context. And now look at Romans chapter 7, verse 1. It's continuing to say these same things. He says in verse 1, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." So what he's doing is using marriage to illustrate what he was talking about. And there needs to be a little explanation, because our standard of marriage today is woefully different than what it was in the Bible day. And he made this point in Romans chapter 7, verse 1. I'm speaking to those who know the law. He was talking to people who understood this process that he's talking about. Today, we have no-fault divorce if a person just doesn't like anything. They just get divorced for any reason and stuff like that. The people that he was writing to, the only reason that you could get a divorce was because of unfaithfulness. And the woman wasn't able to file for divorce. The man was able to divorce the wife, but the wife basically was nearly the property of her husband. I'm telling you, Jesus changed things dramatically. You ladies ought to be praising God for Jesus. He elevated women, set you free from a lot of things. But the people that he was writing to, if a woman was married to a man, she was bound by the law to that man. And if she went out and had another sexual relationship with somebody else, she couldn't divorce. She couldn't do anything. The only way she could get out of that marriage was for her old man to die. That's the point that he's making. And so now he says, we are like the wife, and we were bound to this old man, to this old sinful nature. And there was no deliverance from it. The only way to get set free from that sinful nature was through death. And so this is what Jesus did. When you make Jesus your Lord, your old sinful nature dies. It is gone. And now you are free to be married unto Jesus. You are free to have this relationship with Jesus. And so he's using that marriage to illustrate this. And the sad fact is, he says right here in the third verse, he says, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. The symbolism that he's using is that you've got to recognize that your old man, this old sinful nature, is dead. And if you believe that you still have that sinful nature, plus you have now a new nature, you've been born again, then in the sense that he's using this analogy, you are living in adultery. And a lot of Christians today still believe that they have this sinful nature, but they have this born again nature. And the symbolism that he's using is you're living in adultery. That can't happen. So this seventh chapter and everything he's about to say, it goes back to that sixth chapter that you have to recognize that your old man is dead, that the body of sin might be destroyed. You still have the influence of that old sinful nature in your life through your unrenewed mind, the way you were brought up, the values that you established. You know, I was just talking to some people and they said that a person's worldview is basically established between 15, 18 months old up until 13 years of age. By the time you're 13, you basically have your worldview established, your values are established. And of course, Jesus can come in and change that. But I'm saying by the time you're 13, you already have so much that this old sinful nature and this ungodliness that's in our world has taught you that you are programmed. And so when you get born again, God takes that sinful nature that compelled you to sin out, but you still have an unrenewed mind and you have to renew it. That's what the purpose of the Word of God is. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and so that you can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You get transformed through the renewing of your mind. Your spirit is instantly changed at salvation, but then you have to change the way you think. In a sense, we're like a computer that even though we may have different hardware put on the inside of us, that operating system, that software is what runs it. And if you don't change the software, if you don't renew your mind, you're going to continue to function the way that you were programmed. And so you've got to recognize that your old sinful nature, that old man is dead, and now you are joined unto the Lord, and you have to make it so that you are no longer by nature a child of the devil. You have been born again and you have a new nature on the inside of you. And once you do that, see, when you recognize the things we're talking about, it changes your identity. There are so many Christians that they'll sit there and say, well, I'm an old sinner. I'm an old sinner saved by grace, but my nature is an old sinner. And so they may want to live for God because they've got a brand new spirit, and that spirit is compelling them, drawing them towards living for God and quitting the things that were so destructive in their life and to other people. They have this desire, but they still got this unrenewed mind, and they think, but I'm just an old sinner. I was a drunk before. I'm still a drunk. I use this example, but this is one of the things I have against so many people, that they were like an alcoholic or a drug addict, and they get born again, but they still see themselves that way. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you still see yourself as a drunk, if you still see yourself as a drug addict, if you still see yourself as an adulterer, if you still see yourself as a failure, then you may desire to be different, but that's how you see yourself. And you will eventually wind up living out, acting out the way you see yourself to be. But when you can recognize like this, that your old man is dead, you are freed from that. And now the only thing that is keeping you in bondage is the fact that you don't have a renewed mind. You still think that you are by nature an old sinner, saved by grace. I am not by nature an old sinner. I got saved by grace, and now I've got a new nature. And as quickly as I can renew my mind and see who I am and what I have in Christ, I'll begin to start acting out that nature. But there are so many Christians that still embrace this old nature kind of mentality, and they think that they're schizophrenic. They got this sinful nature and this born-again nature together. I tell you, you are not that way. The only thing that's wrong with you, it's not a nature problem. It's not the core of your being. It's an unrenewed mind. You haven't seen who you are in Christ. And so in verse 4, he says, wherefore, here's the application of that point he just made. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And so right now, we are now married to the Lord. And when you understand that your old sinful nature, that old man is gone, and you are now a brand new person, as you renew your mind to that, you will bring forth fruit unto God. Did you know in a marriage relationship, children are talked about the fruit of your body and things like this? It's talking about this intimate relationship that a man has with his wife, and it produces fruit, children. Well, likewise, when we recognize that we are now married to the Lord and that that's who we are, it produces fruit, holiness unto God. And he says in the next verse, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now you are delivered from the law. And again, in this analogy that he's using right here, we are delivered from that old sinful nature. The law, the Old Testament law, was given not for your spirit man. And there, especially in Romans chapter 8, when we get into that, it'll make it clear that the law isn't made for a righteous man. It was made for that old sinful nature. It was made to reveal how sinful we were at our core, so that we would quit thinking that somehow or another we could earn salvation on our own. It would make us come to the Lord for salvation. It was given to literally draw out this sinfulness and make it apparent to us, so that we would turn from self-righteousness and ask God for mercy. But once you get born again, the law is not for you. Let me just point out some of the things that I've already read right here, but many people just skip over this. In verse 2, Romans 7, 2, it says, she is loosed from the law. In verse 3, it says, you are free from the law. In verse 4, it says, dead to the law. In verse 6, it says, you are delivered from the law. What part of all of this do we not understand? Christians are still bound to the Old Testament law and to this law mentality that I have to do this and this and this to make myself acceptable to God. The law wasn't given so you could keep it. The law was given to show you how incapable of keeping the law you were, to show you that you were a sinner. We talked about this in Romans chapter 3, verses 19, 20, 21. These things are kind of a repeat of things that we've already said. Again, if you've missed any of this teaching, you need to get all of the products that we're offering. But what I'm saying here is verifiable in Scripture, in the book of Romans, that the law wasn't given so that by keeping it you could earn relationship with God, but it was given to show you how high God's standard was and to make you despair of self-salvation. It was to turn you from trying to earn God's favor to just saying, "Oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And then the moment you do that and you put faith in what Jesus did for you, you become a new person, and now you are delivered from the law. The law is not for a born-again righteous person. It is for the sinner to lead them to the Lord. Now, does this mean that there is no benefit to the law, to the Old Testament, that we just forget it? You know, I've had some people that have taken things that I've said right here, and they have taken that to the point that they believe now we just don't even pay any attention to the Old Testament. I probably spend more time studying the Old Testament than I do the New. That may not be accurate, but at least I spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. I still benefit from it because God's standards haven't changed. It's just that now I appropriate all of the blessings and all of the awesome things that are promised us in the Old Testament law. I appropriate them not through me fulfilling righteousness, but through my faith in Jesus. And this is what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. Anyway, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. But this is the point that he's making, that we are set free from the law. That old man is gone, and now we relate to God in a totally brand new way. Not based on performance, but based on what Jesus did for us. It's not what we do for Jesus, it's what he did for us. We put our faith in him. And I tell you, when you start understanding this and walking in your relationship with God by faith instead of by performance, it sets you free. Not free to sin, but free from sin. Free from the guilt and the condemnation. And it allows you to enter boldly into the presence of God. And once you begin to start establishing this and you really connect with the Lord and establish relationship with Him based on faith and not on performance, I tell you, the love of God will just flow through you and you will wind up living holier accidentally than you ever lived on purpose before. Holiness comes as a fruit and not a root of salvation. Man, that's awesome. So anyway, we will continue here on our program tomorrow. Let me mention that I've got a brand new book out on this. As you can see, it's a big book, and it's the verse-by-verse study through the book of Romans. It has not only my teaching that I'm giving right here, but it also has the notes from my living commentary in it. We've also got a lot of other things that we're offering. We've got Grace Encounters. We're offering my living commentary. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you all of the details about the things that we're offering. But I promise you, this teaching on the book of Romans is foundational. You need to get hold of this. It'll change your life. So listen to our announcer. Join me again tomorrow for the gospel truth.
Andrew is pleased to announce the release of his brand new hardback book titled Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. This brand new book includes all of Andrew's personal study notes and commentary on the book of Romans, compiled from Andrew's Life for Today Study Bible and Living Commentary. This valuable resource is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, is also available in a CD or DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each of these valuable resources are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today, you heard Andrew's personal revelation on the book of Romans. You can study through the entire Bible with Andrew when you get his continually updated living commentary. This extraordinary resource contains his personal study notes, footnotes, and commentary on over 25,000 Bible verses. Andrew has priced this valuable study tool at only $120. Go to awmi.net to download yours today. Also today, Andrew's offering the Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs as his free gift to you when you write or call. This special offer is a $50 value, absolutely free when you contact us today. Or you can get each of these valuable resources as part of the Romans package. This package includes Andrew's Living Commentary, as well as the Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, hardback book, your choice of either the CD or DVD album, and Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs. This incredible package has a catalog value of $275, but you can receive all of these valuable resources today for just $197. You can become a Grace Partner or order resources through our website at awmi.net. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. You can also order resources or receive prayer by calling our helpline at 719-635-1111. Our helpline is open Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, and Saturday and Sunday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. In the month of August, come to the campus in Woodland Park for our annual Healing is Here conference. Next, join Andrew and guest speaker Dwayne Sheriff at the Chicago Gospel Truth Conference in Lombard, Illinois. Then, Andrew will be speaking in Lena, Illinois. And in September, come to Woodland Park for the Truth and Liberty Coalition Conference. Speakers at this event include Andrew Womack, Richard Harris, Mario Murillo, E.W. Jackson, and Congressman Doug Lamborn. Next, Andrew will again be in Woodland Park for the Destiny Conference with guest speaker Dwayne Sheriff. Then, Andrew will be speaking in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
You know, the Lord has given me a huge vision. I've got at least $100 million worth, maybe $200 million worth of buildings still in my heart for our students, for an activity center. Our others are going to be smaller with maybe somewhere around 40 people per dorm, but we need this student housing. So I would ask you to pray about it, and if the Lord says so, join with us and help us change people's lives through Charis Bible College. Once you know that this is what God has said, you just base your life on it. And I mean, there is no plan B or there is no plan C.
Jesus found his identity in the scriptures, just like you and I are going to have to find our identity now in the scripture.